The following interview was conducted with Mr. George Wallace on behalf of the New South Voices Project for the Brooklyn Neighborhood Oral History Project. It took place on March 24, 2004 at Mr. Wallace's office. The interviewer is Tamara Dial. All right, what is your full name?
George Alexander Wallace.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina. You need me closer?
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah, you're fine. And where in Charlotte were you born?
Here in the Greer Heights community.
Okay. Do you have any children?
I do.
And what are their names?
Jeffrey Lamar Perry and Daryl Antoine Perry.
Any grandchildren?
Yes, I do.
And what are their names?
Their name is Michael Perry, Jalen Perry, and Kendall Perry.
Okay. What is your occupation?
I'm the executive director of a community development corporation.
How long have you worked at this job?
I've held this position since 1994. Prior to that, I was board of directors chair for this organization while employed with the city of Charlotte.
What inspired you to get into this type of business?
A love of history, a love of neighborhood, and some say that I've inherited what I do from my grandfather. Edward Wallace.
What did he do?
He was one of the founders of this neighborhood. He was a contractor by trade and profession, and one of the major developers or founders of this neighborhood.
Okay, and this neighborhood is the Greer Heights community.
It is indeed.
Okay. And so you grew up in here in Greer Heights.
I did.
Could you tell me or describe one of your fondest childhood memories of growing up in this neighborhood?
Funniest memory was from this neighborhood was the outdoor experience of going on field trips near and close to the neighborhood, such as the Mint Museum that is still over here off Randolph Road, or going on a outing down to the creeks here to study tadpoles, as they call them, things of that nature. Also, playing funeral home directors. My best friend, Eugene Greer, grandfather, owned Greer Funeral Service, and we used to build our little funeral homes and things like that.
Okay. Where in Charlotte did most of your friends and family live?
All of my closest friends up until high school lived here in the Greer Heights community.
Mm-hmm. And your family?
My family also, yes.
Okay, did you have any friends or family that lived in other neighborhoods in Charlotte?
Yes, I did.
What were some of those neighborhoods that they lived in?
They lived in Brooklyn and in Biddleville.
Okay.
And Cherry.
And Cherry?
Cherry, Brooklyn, and Biddleville.
How would you describe the boundaries of the different black neighborhoods? How did you know whether you were in Cherry or whether you were in Brooklyn or whether you were in Greer Heights?
Well, Greer Heights is unique in that it's not contiguous or either interlocked with any of the other African-American neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We are still bounded by the prestigious Eastover community, Elizabeth community, and the Cotswold neighborhood. These neighborhoods are predominantly white neighborhoods that have a lot of history to them, have been there quite a while, and Greer Heights is somewhat in a triangle. And to go to Cherry was about a 2 mile walk, to Brooklyn about a 2.5 mile walk, 2.5 or 3 mile walk.
How would you know the difference between Cherry and Brooklyn?
How would I know the difference?
Yeah.
Greer Heights from Brooklyn had more so of it, and at the time that I was growing up, we were considered in the county. I believe Greer Heights was incorporated into the city sometime in the 50s, but we had to walk through white neighborhoods to get to Cherry or to get to Brooklyn. And we had a lot more open space than those two neighborhoods. They were sort of more so urban type African-American neighborhoods. We were sort of had a more of a country atmosphere.
So you knew that you got to either Brooklyn or Cherry when you saw black people?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's basically how the different
that's
neighborhoods
correct.
Were defined?
Yeah, we had to go through several white neighborhoods to get to Cherry or Brooklyn.
Okay, so other than walking, what was the way that you could
Well, bus transportation. Of course, buses at that time, stopped on the fringes of the neighborhood, and we had to walk up 7th Street to 7th and 5th Street to catch the bus.
Did they have any black taxi services or anything for the community?
They had taxi services, but they rarely came to the neighborhood. Of course, yeah, if you had the money to afford taxes back then, yes, they came to the neighborhood.
Okay. Could you talk to me about some of the different schools that you attended?
I attended this school, of which we're sitting in now, Billingsville Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, we're actually in my second grade classroom. Across the hall there was my first. Over in the corner over there was my third, and over there was the fourth. And when I moved on to the fifth grade, they began to add on to this building.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see outside now, the old Billingsville school for my fifth up until the ninth grade, that's been torn down. They're building a new school back there.
Where did you go to high school?
Second Ward.
You went to Second Ward High School? And Second Ward was located in the Brooklyn community?
Yes.
When did you graduate from?
1961.
In 1961?
Huh.
All right. And what was Second Ward's mascot?
A tiger.
There was a tiger.
Yeah.
Now, what, because you spent a lot of time in all the different black neighborhoods in Charlotte.
I did.
What were some of the rivalries, between the different neighborhoods? Who had the strongest one?
One well-known rivalry that took place was the annual Thanksgiving Day football game between Cherry and Grimes. That went on for years. I witnessed it as a small kid and began to play in it as I got older. That was an annual affair. We played sandlot football.
Mm-hmm.
That's football without any equipment and gear. But it was a well-known game. It was played either behind the school here or over on property at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was much smoother, nicer area.
Okay. Even though you didn't live in the Brooklyn community, what were some of your reasons for going to the Brooklyn neighborhood?
I became knowledgeable of Brooklyn as a young man, a child. My grandmother and mother and father would carry me over to witness the annual House of Prayer parade. I was, I guess, about 5 or 6 years old or older, and would go to my great aunt's house on McDowell Street. And she, at that time, she lived in a quadruplex upstairs type of apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And we would, on the banner, watch the parade go by. That's when I became aware of Brooklyn. In addition to that, my best friend Eugene Greer, his grandfather and father would take me over to their funeral home at a very young age. And from that time, it was like going to town or whatever to go over to Brooklyn. And that's when I became knowledgeable as a very young kid. And then went on to, again, go to high school there and spend all of my young days prior to going into service and then on to school after service.
You mentioned the House of Prayer, the parade. Mm-hmm. What was the reason for the parade?
That was Convocation. It was called Convocation, where Sweet Daddy Grace came back to Charlotte to launch his convocation throughout the East, where he had all his churches up and down the South. It would start here.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would go to all the other churches that he had throughout the state. Not only that, back then, Bishop Grace had his tent out here in the Grice community where he was doing revivals and things of that nature.
Does Greer Heights have its own House of Prayer?
No, we don't. It was just getting started. Mm-hmm. Rumor has it, and it's been said that he actually started out here before he went over to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know. I went around at that time. It was long before my time.
Okay. How about what were some of the other social or civic institutions in Brooklyn that were important to you?
There was a YM and a YWCA.
Mm-hmm.
There was social, there were pool rooms that we played pool in. There was some clubs, as I recall. There were quite a few cultural and social things taking place in Brooklyn back then that we didn't have maybe out here in this neighborhood.
Do you remember any of the names or any of those like clubs or any of the pool halls and stuff that you would go to?
Oh yeah, there was a pool hall owned by a gentleman named Shook Brown on Maury Street. There was a pool hall down on, he owned two pool halls, one on Miles and one on McDowell Street.
What about the High Five Club.
The High Five was on the west side of town.
Was the west side?
Yeah, on the west side of town, on Estelle Street off of Bedford Road.
Mm-hmm. With the YMCA and the YWCA that were located in Brooklyn, were those the only ones for the blacks in Charlotte?
Yeah. All the ones for blacks in Charlotte. That I know of.
That you know of?
Mm-hmm.
What about...
Then there was the theaters. Okay, yeah, forget me. Brooklyn had two theaters, the Savoy and the Lincoln Theater.
Were the Savoy and Lincoln black-owned?
Yes. No. They were not.
They were not?
Mm-hmm.
Were they black-operated?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Savoys were black. Did she give me 2 weeks?
Other than the different things like the pool halls and stuff, was there any place else in the Brooklyn area that you just hung out or wanted to go have a good time?
Well, you know, once I began to go to high school over there, mainly a lot of my time was spent at football practice that was take place down at Farrell Street Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of the time, of course, I would always visit relatives that I had in Brooklyn. And again, before going to high school as a kid, junior high, elementary school, spent a lot of time at Greer Funeral Service because, again, my best friend, grandfather owned it, and we would play there in the lawn, talking about the day we were going to be going to Second Ward High School, and you know, again, Brooklyn was like going to New York City for people leaving out the country out of here.
Did you spend any time in the Blue Heaven area?
Yes, I did. I have some of my friends, some of my best high school friends lived down in Blue Heaven.
Could you tell me about a funny time or an experience or something you did or had fun in Blue Heaven?
Well, Blue Heaven had more of a what we call... Locked in. A couple of my high school schoolmates that played football, we lived in Blue Heaven, and the closeness of the homes and houses in Blue Heaven was something to remember. You know, they're real close and jammed up, and any particular incident, I can't recall, but I spent a lot of time, that's all I can say, in Blue Heaven. They were in close proximity to Brooklyn, and you had to come across McDowell Street, and Independence Boulevard had just cut through. Well, Independence had been cut through Brooklyn long before I came about, but you might say the shabbiness of the houses in Blue Heaven was something that stood out. They were real poverty looking, and all brick. I mean, sorry. All wood, one bit, and had sort of a ghetto look, I hate to say that. But I had a lot of fun memories of him also.
What about when you were attending high school at Second Ward, did you have any like fierce rivalries with other schools?
Of course, West Charlotte, York Road. It was on the south side. I think your parents went to York Road, didn't
they? My dad went to York Road.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mom went to West Charlotte. Okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah, now, York Road and West Charlotte.
And with the rivalry between Second Ward and West Charlotte, what was the name
Queen
of the
City Classic?
The Queen City Classic?
Yeah, and your football game. Yeah.
Did you ever participate in that?
Oh, yes. I played football for 3 years at Second Ward.
Okay.
Captain of my senior class team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Co-captain. Yeah, co-captain. Played quarterback.
Describe some of the businesses that you frequented in Brooklyn.
There was the Orange Bowl, which was a sandwich shop on the corner of McDowell and Brooklyn. There was a pastry shop on McDowell Street that I frequented. And of course, there was El Chico's, the famous El Chico's restaurant. Up on 1st and 2nd Street, there was a cafe on 1st and 2nd. I can't think of the name right now, but then there was a grocery store called Pittman's Grocery Store over on 1st Street. And right across the corner from our Greer Funeral Service on the corner, there was a little store. I can't think of the name of it, but Pitch and I did a lot, you know.
What made El Chico so famous, folks?
Their sandwiches, their bologna sandwiches, mm-hmm. and hamburgers.
Were these all black-owned businesses?
They were all black-owned, yes.
Okay.
Pittman was owned by a white man, though.
Were any of these businesses affected by urban renewal?
They all were removed.
They were all removed?
Mm-hmm.
Did any of them move to someplace else?
Griff Funeral Service moved over to State Avenue,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay. El Chico's, they closed down entirely. Pittman Grocery Store, I think they moved either to Third Ward or someplace. Mm-hmm. Orange Bowl, they folded.
Excuse me.
Alexander Funeral Home moved and they're still in existence. There were some doctors and dentists that were located in Brooklyn that relocated their offices. That's all I can remember right now.
So other than the two funeral homes, you can't think of really any other businesses that survived?
The Amazon Publishing House, where they moved back in it. They're still there on Second and Boston, mm-hmm. Amazon Publishing House. The two funeral homes are surviving, and professional people like doctors and nurses, doctors and dentists, with those doctors all dead and gone now, trying to think. That's a very good question, you know, a real good question. What businesses are still in existence other than those two funeral homes? My mind now is going, walking through the neighborhood right now, through all the main streets, and I'm trying to think of a business other than those two, and I don't think it is. Those are only two businesses that still survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That are recognizable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of white-owned businesses in Brooklyn also?
Not as many as black, no. Whites didn't own, like I said, Pittman's Grocery Store was owned by a white man. All of the businesses, 90% of the business in Brooklyn were black-owned.
Mm-hmm.
The two theaters were owned by whites, but all the other businesses were black-owned.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that not just with businesses, but also when you talk about other civic institutions, how did urban renewal affect Brooklyn as a whole?
I think how it affected it actually eliminated it as a mecca for black entrepreneurship and black businesses. Urban renewal eliminated. When urban renewal came through Brooklyn, a lot of the black businesses were told that they were going to probably, give an opportunity to move back in some form or fashion. It never happened. And they all took what could be described as a little bit of money for what was a thriving business and did not take advantage of really every renewal had as a part of the packaging deal then that they could get long-term loans and things of that nature, but they just took the first lump of money and never did, get back into business.
With Second Ward being located in Brooklyn, and you haven't attended Second Ward,
mm-hmm.
Did you have any type of notification that they were gonna
when I was in service, when it was made known that Second Ward was gonna be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was out of service when the actual removal took place, but, I think 69, I believe,
mm-hmm.
but I was in service at the time that the notification that it was going to be closed down to the police.
And that was in the military?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Army, no. Out of the Army, yes.
Okay. What about some of the other black neighborhoods in Charlotte or in the Charlotte area? How were they affected by urban renewal?
A lot of the people moved from Brooklyn over to First Ward. Okay, First Ward is still around, and again, of the black neighborhoods back then, First Ward and Biddleville supposedly had the more affluent and prominent of blacks, in terms of blacks was a wealth. And they moved to Brooklyn. They moved to First Ward. A lot of them moved to the west side of town.
Mm-hmm. So after urban renewal, or a lot of things were displaced in Brooklyn, people moved to other neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Were any other neighborhoods in Charlotte affected by urban renewal other than Brooklyn?
First Ward was?
Greenville.
Mm-hmm. And Third Ward.
And the same kind of things happened?
Same kind of things happened. Where Erickson Stadium is, that was Third Ward. I was born right in the center of Erickson Stadium at the old Good Samaritan Hospital. 12 born.
Okay. So all of the, so in all, how had urban renewal affected the businesses in Charlotte, black-owned businesses in Charlotte?
Black businesses, as we knew it then, were somewhat, became very few survived urban renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Very few survived, you might put it that way. Very few survived.
Do you see any type of connection between urban renewal and integration in Charlotte?
Any connection?
Yeah.
Whether it was a good thing or a bad thing? Or,
yeah.
In terms of black identification and heritage, I see it as a bad thing. It wasn't good. A lot of blacks lost a lot of identity as it relates to black commerce, black business entrepreneurship. Urban renewal destroyed that, and those blacks who owned a lot back then in Brooklyn, their families never did obtain some of the wealth that the families had back then.
What was your impressions of how other communities responded to what happened in Brooklyn?
What's my impression of how other communities here in Charlotte or throughout the country?
Both.
Blacks are more aware now, and my work, what we're doing now here in this neighborhood, has made us more recognizant of and aware of what can happen when governmental entities come in and say that for the betterment we want to do this or that. That's the reason we are about home ownership. A lot more people need to own their homes in this neighborhood to assure its survival.
Do you think that property ownership was an issue with urban renewal
in
Brooklyn?
Yes, a lot of people lost property. And whereas now, I think blacks are more aware because of what happened, Brooklyn First Ward, what could happen if, before, instead of just taking for granted that you're going to be given something to better your condition. It's made, urban renewal has made those surviving black neighborhoods more aware of governmental entities coming forward and saying that this is for the betterment of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're thriving to do here now, is to maintain this stability, because a lot of home ownership at one time, this neighborhood was every bit 70 or 80% home owned. But now it's not, but we are bringing back home ownership in what we do here.
So because of people not owning the property in Brooklyn and other black neighborhoods that were affected by urban renewal, do you think that had an impact on the people's voice of like protest or against it?
It had not only, it played a big role in what they could demand and ask for at the time.
So because they didn't own it, they didn't have a lot of a say
right
when things came through.
Mm-hmm.
What lessons do you think politicians should take from the experience of Brooklyn, or just urban renewal in general in Charlotte?
Politicians or policy makers have learned from urban renewal here in Charlotte that when there's displacement wholesale of a lot of folk, that there should be more sensitivity to the historical value that the people may have in where they live, and to make sure that they are aware of what's being done and be given an opportunity to have input.
Do you think that, other than here in Greer Heights, because I know you're familiar with that, but any other black communities in Charlotte, do you think they learned any lessons from urban renewal?
Yes, I believe so. A good example would be in the Belmont Villa Heights neighborhood that at one time was predominantly white, but is now 90% black. They aren't going to, their various community advocate groups aren't going to just sit and let all these, new programs come in and just wholesale and move them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've seen what has happened, Brooklyn First Ward, Third Ward, Greenville.
Okay.
Greenville has bounced back. I have to say they've bounced back to become a predominantly black neighborhood. So.
Have any of the other black neighborhoods in the area seen a bounce back or done that?
Yeah, Greenville has. Mm-hmm. And then out on West Boulevard, where there's what used to be Dalton Village, that neighborhood is going through a revitalization that's bringing back a more healthier and stable type African-American neighborhood and atmosphere.
Okay. For my final two questions, first, do you think that there were any issues or any questions I should have asked about any of the black communities that I didn't address in the interview?
No, I think you covered it real well. I think based on what I read in your informational sheet here and your questions, they sort of, they're all in line with what's going on or what has gone on here in Charlotte.
And have you thought of anything from your stuff in Blue Heaven, any experiences in Blue Heaven you want to talk to me about?
Brooklyn or Blue Heaven?
Either one is fine with me.
I met my kid's mother in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my boys' mother. I met them as a young teenager, and I think of some very memorable times
mm-hmm.
that we had as young folk during high school, and some fun memories of my dating days with her.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know her well now. And, I believe a lot of the times I spent in Brooklyn because of her.
Did she?
I don't believe I know that. I spent a lot of time because I met her, even though I was in school here in junior high school, I met her in junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
She was president of the Miles Park, I'm sorry, not Miles Park, Scratch. She was president of Miles Street Elementary School Student Council. And I was been installed as student council president here. And believe it or not, it was in eighth or ninth grade.
Wow.
And we had an installation service up at Billingsville, up at my church, Great Heights Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out representing Miles Street and set eyes on it and never did take my eyes off.
Now Myers School was Myers located Street. In Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was right across the street from Second Ward.
And she grew up in Brooklyn.
She grew up in Brooklyn, yeah.
All right, and participating in an oral history class, we are interested in the interaction between the interviewer and the interviewee. And can you tell me if my gender, race, or university affiliations affected the answers you're willing to give me?
No, whatsoever. I feel that you have not only come prepared to ask the right questions. As I indicated to you earlier, I had gone through this with some students from Smith, and they weren't as prepared as you are in your questions. And how you have researched a lot of what you wanted to know.
Okay.
And asked the right question.
Well, anything else you want to add?
No, I have fond memories of Brooklyn with always because it was a part of my life that I enjoyed, even though I was a young man and had some little raunchy times back then. It was fun. It was fun. It was clean, decent fun.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Wallace.
No problem.